invite you to remain standing.
We're reading from the Gospel according to Luke, a story of Jesus beginning in the 7th chapter at the 36th verse, and I'm going to be reading from the Common English translation. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. After he entered the Pharisee's home, he took his place at the table. Meanwhile, a woman from the city, a sinner, discovered that Jesus was dining in the Pharisee's house. She brought perfumed oil in a vase made of alabaster. Standing behind him at his feet and crying, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them away with her hair, kissed them, and poured the oil on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw what was happening, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner." Jesus replied, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher, speak," he said. "A certain lender had two debtors. One owed enough money to pay 500 people for a day's work. The other owed enough money for 50. When they couldn't pay, the lender forgave the debts of them both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the larger debt canceled." Jesus said, "You have judged correctly." Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your home, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with tears, wiped them away with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has poured perfumed oil on my feet. This is why I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven. So she has shown great love. The one who is forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other table guests began to say something among themselves, "Who is this person who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So 2 weeks ago, we completed a series exploring in depth our new purpose statement, which is found on the front of our bulletin. And in that exploration, we ended with the statement that the overall purpose of God is relationship. Relationship with God and with one another. And the way that we're going to live that out is doing these things in our church to be this kind of community, right, as it says on the front. But it starts with that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Being able to state for yourself very clearly, not just in your head, but in your heart, yes, Jesus loves me. So this series, we're going to really talk about that for the next 3 weeks. It may be challenging. It may step on your toes a little bit. The Holy Spirit can be like that. He challenges you to go a little bit deeper, but to realize, like the woman in this story, the depth of Jesus' love for you. Now this story, there's a similar story in all of the other Gospels, right? The story of a woman who comes and anoints Jesus' feet or head with oil, depending on the story. But this one is different. It's a different story occurring in a different place, a different house, with a different point. And that's why we read this story this morning, because the point and the uniqueness of the story is important for understanding what that personal relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. Now, to understand some of the differences, we need to understand a little bit of the history around who the people are in the story and what is happening here. Okay? So we're going to start with Simon, the person. So it says Jesus goes to the house of Simon the Pharisee. So the other one takes place at the house of Simon the leper. A leper could not be a Pharisee. It's a different person, different house, different story. Simon the Pharisee. Now, Pharisees, we've talked about before, Pharisees are very serious about the law. They're very respected among the people, generally speaking. Pharisees are the forerunners to rabbis. They're among the people, but they are zealous for the law and for being God's people in that way. So generally speaking, they're learned and respected, right? Now, some Pharisees, a lot of Pharisees we read about in the scripture, are threatened by Jesus, and they oppose Jesus, and they argue with Jesus, but mostly that just comes from their love that their lives have been changed in a personal way by Jesus, not by Jesus, I'm sorry, by God. By their God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And their lives have been changed. They live in a new and different way because of that. And so they're trying to understand what Jesus is all about and who this person is. And some of them do this in a very defensive way. And others, like Simon, or perhaps Nicodemus is more well known, they are more curious than threatened. It seems that Simon has maybe heard Jesus teach, heard about the miracles he's doing. He thinks, yeah, Jesus, yeah, he's a good dude. He's a good teacher. He's kind of like me. I want to have him to my house. And clearly, God makes a difference in his life. God makes a difference in my life. I want to have him over for dinner. I want to learn about him, learn a little bit more about what he's all about. See if he really might be who he says he is. And then there is this woman who comes into the story, verse 38. Now, as Miss Eugenia mentioned, she's not invited to this party, but it wouldn't have been unknown or unexpected for people to show up when there's a great teacher having a conversation with a great Pharisee. This Pharisee is known amongst these people in this community, and Jesus were invited to his house. It's not quite like we imagine a dinner party today where your door is shut and you know, if somebody were to walk into your house, that would be super weird and awkward, right? The houses were more open. The doors were not shut and locked, generally speaking, right? So if you're having a dinner party, it's really more of a community affair. And it wouldn't have been unknown for people to come in and to be a part of that, to want to listen to this conversation between these learned people. So the way that works logistically is there would be a table, maybe in like a courtyard kind of a setting, right? And you have to understand the tables are low, and the people, the literal translation of the Greek, it says that Jesus reclined at the table. Because the way that they did was the tables were low, and they would come in, and they would lie down. They would sort of sit like this at the table, right? So imagine the table's here. Feet are kind of out behind you, right? You're here at the table. Jesus is here. They're having a meal and talking, discussing. Feet are back here. Guests are behind. So for this woman to come up behind Jesus and be close to his feet, it's not sort of like you would imagine her like going under the table, right? Like she could just come up to behind him and be close to him, and it wouldn't really attract attention. She could just kind of still be in the background. Now, people know who she is, and they understand, you know, that her being there is kind of a big deal. But at this point, they can pretty much just ignore her. She's just sort of in the background. But then something happens. This woman makes a scene. She attracts this attention to herself. She cries and she touches Jesus. And if you understand sort of the Pharisaical law, the understanding was if someone who is sinful and unclean would be the word that they would use, a person who is sinful could transmit that uncleanliness to another person by touching them. So with this woman, this sinful woman touches Jesus, this Pharisee thinks, man, Jesus doesn't, he's not really a prophet, or else he would know that this woman is touching him and making him unclean. Right? He would know that this is a problem, right? If he's really a prophet, he would know about this woman. And so he says, you know, if this man were a prophet, and the sort of the literal translation is, but he's not, it's clear to me he's not a prophet because of the way he's interacting with this sinful woman. See, the Pharisee understands something that C.S. Lewis kind of coined a very nice term, right? That Jesus is either a prophet, Messiah, Savior, or he's a fraud. There's no room for Jesus to be a good teacher. Not because of the claims that he makes and the things that he says. And the Pharisee understands that and he gets that, right? And so he thinks, all right, well, this guy's a fraud. He's clearly not a prophet, or else he wouldn't touch this woman, wouldn't let this woman touch him, right? But still, this is all taking place in this man's mind, and really, this woman's kind of making a scene, but we can still sort of pretend that she's not there. But Jesus, now Jesus steps in, and he tells this parable of debtors, people who owe money, a lot of money, to a creditor whose debt is forgiven. Now, to understand a little bit about kind of what that means, if you went into debt to somebody, that was not unheard of at the time, especially within a context of crops, right, and farmers. Everybody's kind of, you know, farmers. So if you have a bad harvest, you might need to get a loan in order to get through the season, and the loan would be guaranteed by the next year's harvest, or guaranteed maybe even by your land, or even further, and this is where I think Jesus is going with this, you would guarantee it by your own life or the life of your children. So if you came, the creditor came to settle the debt with you, and you couldn't settle the debt, well then you or your children would be sold into slavery to settle the debt. So imagine then the joy of a person who thinks that he's about to have to sell his children into slavery, and then he finds that the debt is forgiven, that the slavery is broken. And Jesus says, this is what it's like to be forgiven of your sins by God. From Isaiah, the prophet, in chapter 50, God says to the people of Israel, which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? No, because of your sins you were sold. It is sin which puts us into slavery. Paul often talks about that sin is slavery, either to the devil or to sin itself. Living within sin is a type of slavery. And what the Pharisee knows, this is truth that the Pharisee knows, is that God and sin can't be together. God is without sin. Holy is the word that we use. So if we are in sin, if we are slaves to sin, we can't also be slaves to God. We can't also be in a relationship with God. Because the sin blocks that relationship. The sin holds us in slavery. It prevents that relationship. And what Jesus is teaching here is that the one who has sinned a lot has a better recognition of their own sinful reality, and therefore when they are forgiven and restored that relationship and freed from that slavery, they have a better recognition of the reality and the greatness of what has happened. They get it. Her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. This woman gets it. And so she comes now to see this in a different way. See, she has come because she's heard about Jesus. She knows about Jesus. She's aware of what the love that he has and the teaching and the miracles. We don't know exactly why she comes, but she comes, and she comes up behind him, right? And he's there, and all of a sudden it hits her. All of a sudden the greatness of God's grace and God's love for her hits her. And she knows what she's done. She knows the sin that she has lived in, and she knows that she is forgiven. And she bursts into tears, tears of joy, tears of regret, to all of the years of living in slavery now ended. She bursts into tears, and her tears fall on Jesus' feet. Such a scene now that has been made, and now she's overcome, and she realizes that she's making this scene, and she tries to make it better with the only thing she can think of, which she begins to wipe away the tears with her hair. And she realizes what she has done, that she has now touched Jesus, that she can't go back. Because she has broken this barrier between her and God, and she goes all in. She could have run away. No, she goes all in. She takes the oil that she brought. She pours it on Jesus' feet. She begins to kiss his feet. She pours out that loving relationship with God, with Jesus. She goes way too far. Way too far. You see, this kind of reception that Jesus talks about when he points her out and he talks to the Pharisee, right? Like, that's not like a normal reception for a house guest. That would be like if an honored guest, a lord, a king came to your house, that you would anoint them with oil. But she gets it. She knows what it means. That her sins are forgiven, and her response, Jesus says, this is the appropriate response of faith to God's grace for the forgiveness of sins. He says, your sins are forgiven. And the people kind of are like, whoa, what, he can't do that. What's he doing? And it does sort of ask us a question. If Jesus can forgive sins without going to the cross, why does he go to the cross? This is a big question for the early church. There's a lot of deep theological meanings that people have come up with to answer this question. And when they were trying to figure out the answer to this question, why did Jesus die on a cross? They looked at the scriptures in Isaiah, the scriptures that Anna read for us. Verse 5, he was pierced because of our rebellions, crushed because of our crimes. He bore the punishment that made us whole. And by His wounds, we are healed. So there's a lot of good reasons and things to understand about why Jesus went to the cross, but maybe the most important one is that is how much God loves you. That the cross is a passionate display of God's love for you. Each one of you. That's what this woman realizes in this moment, how much God loves her. And for each one of us, to know that truth is to look at the cross of Christ and Jesus hanging there, His arms spread wide, and to see it as a passionate display of God's love for you. And to understand then that that is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you. That is what it means to have a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. As Jesus went all in on the cross, as this woman went all in her passionate display of faith, so each one of us is called to go all in with our faith. All in Jesus Christ. Jesus wants a passionate, life-changing relationship with you. To realize, as Paul realized, I live by faith, indeed by the faithfulness of God's Son who loved me and gave His life for me. Therefore, I live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in my body, I live by faith. So that is what God wants. Not demands. Not requires. Grace is free. You can't earn it. But the response of faith. The response is the passionate display of love for God in Jesus Christ. Response that is radical, that is inappropriate, is abundant, that pours out the most valuable thing you have, that pours out your tears, pours out your body. That's what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and to realize the truth. Yes. Jesus loves me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God in Jesus Christ. Amen.